Welcome to Wednesday night at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us.
Things are going to get interesting now. All the questions are centered around these couple chapters, some of them. And I'll just tell you tonight, I'm not going to give you all the information you want. But there's more to come. God has, in His Word, solid lines. And if you're going to be a person of character, you'll be... And you're going to make it fit no matter what. Put it in your pocket and put it away.
Yeah.
All right? Because it's not always what we think it is or want it to be. See, what you got to be careful of with Scripture is you got to be careful of not making it say what you want it to say. Let it say what it says. So Revelation chapter 12 and chapter 13, if we make it. All right? Two significant events. This is going to be chapter 12. It's going to be verses 1 through 6. And they're introduced by that term. All right? So chapter 12, verse 1. Then I witnessed in heaven an event of great significance. All right? There it is. I saw a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon beneath her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. And she was pregnant, and she cried out because of her labor pains and the agony of giving birth. What in the world? Okay. The woman is Israel. She's pregnant with the birth of Christ. Christ was a Jew. So he gives birth. Now, how do you know that? Well, if you go into Genesis chapter 37... Verse 9, we have a little insight. Have you noticed that a lot of what happens in Revelation, it also has taken place in the Old Testament? And there's a lot of insight into the Old. That's why the Old Testament is important to know. Because there's a lot of things that happened there that also are predicted in Revelation. Genesis chapter 37, verse 9. Soon Joseph had another dream. And again he told his brothers about it. Listen, I've had another dream, he said. The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me. Now doesn't that sound just like what we've just read? And this time he told the dream to his father as well as to his brothers, and his father scolded him. What kind of dream is that, he asked. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? Well, they did. But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his fathers wondered what the dreams meant. Joseph, the family, the birth of Israel, 12 tribes, all right there. So we have that picture there, and we understand what it says. It just, she gives birth to the Messiah. Israel formed in a moment. Isaiah 66, verse 7. Before the birth pains even begin, Jerusalem gives birth to a son. Same thing. Who has ever seen anything as strange as this? Who ever heard of such a thing? Has a nation ever been born in a single day? Has a country ever come forth in a mere moment? But by the time Jerusalem's birth pain began, her children will be born. Will I ever bring this nation to the point of birth and not deliver it, asked the Lord. No, I would never keep this nation from being born, says your God. So we see the children of Israel, their process in the time of which we're looking at, in the tribulation time. Now remember, we're not here, okay? We're already in heaven. We believe the rapture has already taken place. Verse 3. Then I witnessed another significant event. Second one. I saw a large red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept away 1/3 of the stars in the sky, and he threw them to the earth. He stood in front of the woman as she was about to give birth, ready to devour her baby as soon as it was born. And she gave birth to a son who was to rule all nations with an iron rod. And her child was snatched away from the dragon and was caught up to God and to his throne. And the women fled into the wilderness where God had prepared a place to care for her for 1,260 days. Now remember, I've told you, Revelation isn't always sequential, isn't it? Sometimes when we're reading a book, we always want, this happens, and this happens, and this happens. Revelation isn't written that way. And what we have a picture here is almost from the beginning of history to the tribulation time. The red dragon, that's Satan. Pretty clear. 7 heads, many think that it represents Rome. Rome was built on 7 hills, the Roman Empire. And the seven, or maybe the seven continents, picturing worldwide domination. You know, the third of the heaven, when Satan rebelled against God, he took a third of the angels with him, didn't he? And so the ten horns, world rulers. You see, the history of the human race is a war between the seeds. The seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent. Remember the dragon that said there is ready to devour the son that's born? Remember when Jesus was going to be born, what did Herod do? Kill all the babies. And what happened? They were taken away and they went to Egypt to protect him, didn't they? So you have that picture there. You have Christ's birth. You have his ascension. He ascended to the Father. The Father took care of him. Satan tried to kill Christ, did kill him, but he came back from the dead. And now he's alive forevermore. And now we have Israel being protected by God for 3.5 years. You know, many of you, oh yeah, they're going to go to Petra. Maybe. We don't know. If you've ever been over to Israel, the desert there is incredible. And you can get lost there for years and not be found. So we don't know. All right? We're good? Yay. Secondly, Satan has been defeated. Yes. Satan has been defeated. So we see that picture of what's happened, what's taken place, chapter 12, verse 7. Then there was a war in heaven, and Michael, one of the strong angels, one of the leading angels, and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, notice the names given to Satan here. This great dragon, the ancient serpent, called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, that those all describe who he is, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. And then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heaven, "It has come at last. Salvation and power and the kingdom of our God, the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down the earth, the one who accuses them for our God day and night. And they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. But terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time." Now, there's something going on in heaven right now that I don't fully understand, and we don't fully get a big, great picture of it. But somehow, some way, Satan is the accuser. The Bible tells us he accuses us before God day and night. The only real picture we have of this is in the book of Job. Remember, at the beginning of that book, God and Satan are having this conversation. "Have you considered my servant? Oh, yeah, you're just doing this." Evidently, that type of, "Oh, he'll deny you in a moment. Oh, he'll do that. Oh, they're not worthy." Another picture where the priest was there in the Old Testament, and the serpent, the accuser, said he's not worthy. So somehow, Satan is still accusing. This battle takes place, and what happens is Satan is thrown out of heaven to the earth. All right? And he's ticked off. And now all the war and violence breaks out because notice what it says there. He knows that he has little time. So he's been defeated. You know, he's thrown out. And they defeated him by the blood of their Lamb and by their testimony. That's how we defeat him. And so now earth begins to even get worse. This really begins the middle of the tribulation where those last 3.5 years get really intense because Satan knows there's not much time left. Okay? Questions? Boy, this is going much easier than I thought. Good. Next, Satan seeks to destroy God's people. Satan seeks to destroy God's people. When the dragon realized that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. Who's the woman?
Israel.
So he's pursuing Israel. But she was given two wings, like those of a great eagle, so that she could fly to a place prepared for her in the wilderness, and there she would be cared for and protected from the dragon for a time, times, and half a time, which is how long?
3.5 years.
I'm impressed. Then the dragon tried to drown the woman with a flood of water that flowed from his mouth. But the earth helped her by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that gushed out from the mouth of the dragon. And the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children, all who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus. And then the dragon took his stand on the shore beside the sea. You see, verse 14 kind of resumes the narrative that was interrupted at verse 6. So it kind of keeps us going here. What happens? Satan's ticked off, so he pursues Israel and tries to destroy her. In reality, when you look at history, history has been one moment after the next where Satan has tried to destroy Israel. He hates Israel. Why? Because God has said it's his people. Christ came from there, and God has promised that he will make them a great nation. Satan believes if I can wipe out the Jewish nation, I can defeat God. Okay? So he keeps trying to do that. And it will get even more intense in the last days. What does it mean he carried them away by wings? Well, we have another reference, Old Testament, Exodus 19:4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. He carried them out of bondage and brought them into the promised land. Okay, what's the flood thing? Well, probably what it is evil propaganda. It's coming out of his mouth, doing everything to flood the world with damaging incantation about who the Jews are. Doing everything he can to talk against them. But the world doesn't buy into it, and he gets stopped. And the Jews have been battling this for centuries. Just let me tell you something. It will not end. Don't think for a moment. You see, there's going to be a little false peace at the beginning of the tribulation period where it seems like, okay, finally, there's an agreement. There's some peace. But it's not going to last because Satan hates the Jewish nation. Okay? Questions?
We got two.
Got two, okay.
They're both kind of the same, so I'm going to merge them together.
Okay.
Had Satan already been cast down to earth?
No.
Okay.
He is still the accuser of the brethren. He is still there creating havoc. Well, why would God? I don't know. It's part of the battle that's being waged. Remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. There's a spiritual battle that goes on and is still going on today. Okay?
The next one is when Satan is thrown out of heaven. What heaven is it?
It's the heaven where God is. It's the heaven where he exists. Somehow, some way, there is a place and a way that heaven, Satan has some sort of access. We don't know any more than that. So any more questions on that? Here's the answer. I don't know. Okay? That's just the answer. Live with it. We don't know. We got a little bitty picture of it here and there. It seems to be going on. How's that work? Don't know. Okay?
That's all the questions we got. But you didn't mention that. If you'd like to give us a question, you can send a text.
Yeah, we have some. There's a text you can send, and we have some microphones if you want to ask one, okay?
Thank you.
But please, I don't wait for you long, okay? So, okay, good.
We're good.
We're good?
Yeah.
All right. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Chapter 13. Now, we're going to be introduced to two people. I am not going to give you all the details of these two people because this is an introduction. We will deal with them even more as we go along, okay? So this isn't the last we see of them, but it is the initial point that we see them in Revelation. Got that? So this is just kind of an introduction. What? Remember, Satan's been thrown down, so now he steps up the game. Verse 13, the beast with seven heads. Chapter 13, the beast with seven heads. Then I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. It had seven heads and 10 horns with 10 crowns on its horn, and written on each head were names that blaspheme God. The beast looked like a leopard, but it had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave the beast his own power and throne and great authority. Now just stop there. Who is this beast? This beast is the person we would call the Antichrist. Now, in Revelation, you will not find the term Antichrist. It is not used in this book. In fact, it's only used in a couple places in the Bible. And to find it, it's only used in 1 John and in 2 John. That's it. So it's called the beast. And he comes up out of the sea. Again, seven. Now, much of this, if you want to go, and I'm not going to take the time to do it tonight, might do it later, we'll just see. Daniel gives us some insight from this, because Daniel in his dream had a very similar description of what was going to happen. And so what we have again is this beast, seven heads, again, perhaps the Roman Empire, perhaps just a new nation, 10 horns, 10 crowns, each were written ruler. But here's the important part. He looked like a leopard, you know, and everything else. But notice the second sentence in verse 2, because it's what you've got to understand. The dragon, who's the dragon? Satan gave the beast his own power and throne and great authority. Everything the beast does, the Antichrist does, comes from Satan. He represents Satan. All right? Verse 3, I saw that one of the heads of the beast seemed to be wounded beyond recovery, but the fatal wound was healed, and the whole world marveled at this miracle and gave allegiance to the beast. Now, Satan is a copycat. He's not original. He just copies what God does. And so what you see here is this Antichrist who evidently received a fatal wound and came back to life, just like Jesus did. He's mimicking what God has done. Now, whether this wound, and there's different people, some think, well, this all represents the nation, so one of the nations was in power, got wounded, and now they're going to come back, and they talk about the revival. Many talk about the revival of the Roman Empire. I believe this is a person that literally happens. A leader. Verse 4. They worship the dragon for giving the beast such power. In other words, you and I worship God through Jesus Christ, don't we? They worship the dragon through the beast. And they also worship the beast. Who is as great as the beast, they exclaimed. Who is able to fight against them? Now, who's they? The people of the world. That's who's doing this. Who's able to fight against him? So in other words, it's a demonstration of power. They stand in awe of this. They recognize, wow, look what he did. Look what happened here. Wow, this is incredible. Isn't this great? Then the beast was allowed. Now, that's another word. You want to understand allowed. Everything that happens here, God allows. Satan can't do anything but what God allows it. That's even true today. And so the beast was allowed to speak great blasphemies against God, and he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. How long is 42 months? Are you beginning to notice a pattern yet? Everything is that term, isn't it? So we see what's happening. So you can do what you need to do during that time. And he spoke terrible words of blasphemy against God, slandering his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And the beast was allowed to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And he was given authority to rule over every tribe and people and language and nation. So in other words, the whole world. correct? He goes against God's people, the Christians that are remaining. He fights against them. And all the people, verse 8, who belong to this world worship the beast. Now, isn't it amazing? They won't worship God. They won't worship Jesus, but they'll worship the beast. Why is that? Because the beast doesn't ask anything of them. The beast is just like they are. They are the ones whose name, now, you know, who are these people in the world that worship him? They are the ones whose names were not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made. And that we have Old Testament imagery as well. And anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Now, where do you recognize that verse 9 from? It hasn't been that long ago. Chapters 2, chapters 3, it talked to the churches. At the end of every letter to each individual church, to anyone who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Right? Use that all the way through. What's missing in this one? Church. Why? It's not there. Okay? Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Anyone who is destined for prison will be taken to prison. Anyone who's destined to die by the sword will die by the sword. This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently and remain faithful. In other words, God's saying, look, there's going to come persecution on the earth. You see, we think, well, if I don't make the rapture, it'll just be easy. I just won't take that mark and I'll just serve God. Do you know how hard that's going to be? It's going to be really difficult. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hunted down. People aren't going to like you. And so it's a difficult time. And so, you know, if God's saying, look, I'm giving him the authority to do this. I'm letting him have his last hurrah. This is what's going to happen on the earth. It's part of my judgment. And so that's the Antichrist. Questions?
We have two.
Again. Okay.
The Jews do not accept Jesus as God's son. So why does God want to make them into a great nation?
Because God always keeps his promise. And God made a promise to Abraham and said, I will make you into a great nation. Your numbers will be great. And God, all throughout the Old Testament, took care of them. Why? Because he made a promise. That's why you and I can be confident in what God's word said. He always keeps his promise. And he does that because that's what he promised Abraham he would do. And that's what he promised them over and over again he would do.
The other question, I'm not quite sure what it's saying.
Okay, then I probably won't be either, but go ahead.
Are these people that accept Christ after the coming of Christ in the church, I'm guessing that is taken?
Okay, after the church is taken up in the rapture, people can still be saved. It will be much more difficult. It will be much harder. There will be much persecution. So what we see and what we hear as we read through Revelation, we've seen it in several places, there still is this conflict going on. You know, the hard thing to picture is, in your mind, don't think, well, this ruler is there, and so everybody over the whole world is serving him. There's still conflict going on in the world. There's still people who are going against this. There's still people who are trying to serve God and know that, okay, I've got to remain true here and I've got to do this. It's still going on that way. The Jewish people are still resisting because they don't buy into anything. Okay? And so you got to understand that this isn't, the Antichrist doesn't show up and everybody just bows down right away. Oh no, there's still issues going on in the whole world.
That's all.
All right, we good? Wow, wonderful. All right, here's the big one. The number 666. The number 666. Then I saw another beast come up out of the earth. Now, who would this be? This would be the person we call the false prophet. All right? And remember I mentioned a few weeks back that God is the Trinity and how Satan mimics God. There's an unholy Trinity in here. Everything they're doing is because of Satan. The false the Antichrist would be that someone who mimics Jesus. The false prophet is someone who mimics the Holy Spirit. And so what you see is a trinity operating here as well. So he had two horns like those of a lamb. Now, let me ask you a question. Does a lamb have horns? No. But he spoke with the voice of a dragon. He comes across as meek and mild, but underneath he's deception. Pretends to be one thing, but is really another. See, the big thing when you're talking Antichrist, when you're talking false prophet, it's deception. He appears to be this. It looks like he's like that, but that's not really who he is. Verse 12, he exercised all authority of the first beast, again, from Satan. And he required, so what we have is this Antichrist has a spokesman, has an associate, has an assistant. He required all the earth and its people to worship the first beast, those whose fatal wound had been healed. So he's the one promoting this, saying, here, look at him. Look at who he is. You need to be doing that. And see, isn't that exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing today? He says, I don't speak of my own. I'll speak of another. He causes us and brings us to Jesus Christ. No one comes to God except he's drawn by the Spirit. So you see them trying to do the same thing. Verse 13, he did astonishing miracles, even making fire flash down to earth from the sky while everyone was watching. Happened in the Old Testament. Remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal? Same type of miracle things. Verse 14, and with all the miracles he was allowed to perform on behalf of the first beast, he deceived, there's that word, all the people who belong to this world, and he ordered the people to make a great statue of the first beast who was fatally wounded and then came back to life. You notice how that's been repeated? He was then permitted to give life to this statue so that it could speak. Wow, what's that like? I don't know. Could be robotics. We're almost there, aren't we? Could be a lot of things. Could be just, hey, he gave life to it and it speaks. There's a lot of weird things. Then the statue of the beast commanded that anyone refusing to worship it must die. He required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave. Who's that mean? Everybody alive on the planet, right? To be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. And no one could buy or sell anything without that mark, which was either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. Wisdom is needed here. I think your wisdom is needed so you don't try to get into figuring out what it all means. Let the one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of beasts, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. In other words, what's going to happen is this. First of all, if we're raptured, so we don't have to worry about this. Well, Pastor, what happens is that we're still here. The church doesn't have to worry about it. Why is that mark given? That mark is given, will you declare your allegiance to the Antichrist? Will you worship him and declare that he's God? And if you'll do that, you'll take a mark. So that's what that mark is about. It's about you, people, making a choice to serve the Antichrist. That's what that mark all represents. And if you don't take it, you don't eat. Because you can't buy or sell without it. Now, we know that's not far away. That's easy to do today, isn't it? So it's not about, well, you know, I can be tricked into this. I can be, you know, I'll have to do it. If you're a Christian, you don't need to worry about this. So it's a mark that is given. What does it mean? We don't know. Now, just understand something. In the Hebrew language, in the Greek language, they don't have numbers. If you do Roman numerals, you're doing letters, aren't you? that represent numbers. So some think, well, you can take certain numbers to this, and you've seen it, I've seen it. Well, if you take this letter and make it mean this, and this one make it mean this, and this, and it gets up, and it ends up to Mussolini. He's the Antichrist. Or it ends up to Hitler. Or it ends up to this. Or it ends up to Mike. You know, and it just ends up. It just, you know, we do all kinds of that stuff. Please don't miss it. What's the deal here? Here's the deal. Satan is mad. He's got a very short amount of time left. He's doing everything he can to what does Satan do when he comes into someone's life? He brings destruction into that life. People who aren't serving God, what's Satan want? He wants to destroy them. He wants to destroy us. He tries to do that today. That's what he'll do then. He'll raise up these two people, these two ones that will speak on his behalf. They'll have his power. They'll do everything they can to destroy the world, and they will. They'll do everything they can to destroy God's people. And what they'll do is, you're going to serve me or else. Now, see, the difference between he and God is, God says, look, I want you to serve me because you love me. Because I love you. Satan says, I don't care whether you love me or not, serve me. You do what I tell you to do. There's a world of difference between the two, isn't there? So you don't need to be afraid about this. You just need to understand what's happening. As we get into that last 3.5 year period here, these two begin to rule the earth, and they're doing everything they can to cause mankind to be led astray from God. Two? Okay, that's not bad.
We got two. Will the Jews become a godly nation?
We'll get to that a little later. There comes a point in time when the Jews' eyes are opened and they realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Hasn't happened yet, but it's coming. So we'll deal with that later. And remember, God has already sealed 144,000 of them. He still is dealing with them.
Does the number refer to Nero Caesar? Could it mean more than one thing?
It could be a lot of things. Here's the bottom line. We don't know. We don't know. I think when it says here, you know, understand the solve the meaning, it's about what the beast is trying to do and trying to accomplish on the earth at this time. Understand that, because that's what it's about. It's about him doing everything he can to get people away from God, to do everything he can to destroy people's lives. Don't buy into that. All right, here's the great news. You and I don't have to be afraid. You and I serve a God who loves us and cares for us. You and I serve a God who is victorious, and as we've already said, Satan is thrown down, he's been defeated. He already is. He knows it. God knows it. We need to know it. And we are called to work until he comes so that people can know Jesus Christ. Because he came that we could have life. Satan comes, verse we're using on Sundays, to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I have come to give you a rich and wonderful life. Amen. Amen.
Father, thank you for joining us for tonight's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We also gather on Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next time for Wednesday night at Faith Assembly. Faith Assembly's Wednesday night is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.